day with you, Lord. Sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord.
Every day, Lord, every day.
Sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord,
every day, Lord, every day,
sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
About the privilege.
What a privilege to know you like I know you, to be loved like you love me. What an honor to worship, truly worship from this heart that you have breathed. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, every day with you, Lord, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. This every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
What a wonder.
What a wonder to live life, really live life, overcoming anything. What a reason to lift up,
freely lift up,
every day my everything. From the rising of the sun to the setting of
the same,
every day with you, Lord, sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord, is sweeter than the day before. Every morning I will worship. Every evening I'll adore. Cause every day with you is sweeter, sweeter than the day before.
The baptisms that you're fixing to take place. So with that, I want to introduce to you Leisha Rogers. Leisha, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And will you follow Him for the rest of your life?
Yes.
It is based on that profession that I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in death, raised to walk in new life.
Good morning. And this is Mackenzie Wade. And Mackenzie Wade, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And will you follow Him all the days of your life? Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister Mackenzie, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Church family, this is Holden Griffin. And Holden, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And will you follow Him all the days of your life? Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother Holden, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. What a privilege it is to be up here in your act of obedience, Samuel. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And will you follow Him all the days of your life? Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother Samuel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life.
Lastly, church family, we have Samuel Gaston coming for baptism today. Sam, is it your testimony that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? It's based on that profession of faith that I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a brand new life.
Every day is sweeter. Amen.
Every day with you, Lord.
Every day sweeter than the day before.
Every day sweeter than the day before.
Every day with you, Lord.
Every day with you, Lord.
Every day sweeter than the day before.
Every day sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord.
Every day sweeter than the day before.
Every day is sweeter. Every day with you, Lord. Sweeter than the day before. Every day with you, Lord.
Every day, Lord. Every day.
Sweeter than the day. Sweeter than the day before.
Will you turn and welcome someone to church this morning?
Savior.
seated. We are so glad you're here at the Church of Pinnacle Hills. Today is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's a big Sunday, big vision with a big God to provide that vision. If this is your first time, we want to encourage you to fill the card that's in the seat back in front of you so we can help you get plugged into the church. It also doubles as a prayer card, so you can fill out a prayer request, and our staff commits to pray with you through your need. Today, we're going to magnify a God who is much greater than us. Let's continue in worship.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonder of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us see power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Sing my Jesus.
My Savior,
Lord, there is
none
like you.
All of my days,
I want to praise
the wonder of your mighty love.
You're my comfort,
and
my shelter. You are the
tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath,
all
that I am,
never cease
to worship
you. Let's stand and sing. Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us see power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Awakening,
my soul and say, for the world you love, your will be done. Let your will be done in me. In your presence, in your power, awakening for this moment, for this hour.
God, let it be done in each one of our lives today. Thank you so much, Josh and band and choir today. Praise the Lord for you and your life and your ministry with us here at this campus. This morning I'm going to be speaking out of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And if you have your Bible, would you find all those? They are the first five books of the New Testament. So if you'll just go to the Bible a little bit past halfway, find the first five books of the New Testament, and we're going to talk from those books here today. Have you found it? I want us to bow our heads together. Oh, Father, may the Holy Spirit do a great and fresh work among your people today. Awaken us to the vision that we believe you are calling us to fulfill. May Jesus be praised. Tell us what it means about advancing our mission. The Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, instructed us to go to the ends of the earth, and I pray we'll be willing to do whatever it takes to take the good news of Jesus to places where the good news is limited or has never been before. In Jesus' name, amen. Advancing our mission. That is what I want to talk to you about this morning. The final words of Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew in the 28th chapter, must never be words that are forgotten. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said these words, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." In this passage, Jesus calls us to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world, of every people group in the world, and to make disciples of all the nations. These nations are not geographical territories, as we would think of nations, but these nations that Jesus is talking about are the various people groups across America and the world. The writer Mark said in his book in chapter 16 that Jesus said a similar thing, but he said it in this way. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Once again, Jesus instructs us and Jesus tells us that he wants us to communicate the good news of the gospel to every person in the world. And then in Luke chapter number 24, in verse number 46 and 47, we see the writer Luke, who was a physician, who was really into the specificity of matters, and that's why his books are long. Both Luke and Acts are very lengthy books. But Jesus tells us these words in a different way in Luke 24, 46 and 47. He says, and I quote, "This is what is written. The Messiah, God's anointed one, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." It's interesting that in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us what the gospel is really about in this passage. He condenses the whole story of Jesus in two verses. This is what he tells us. He tells us that Christ died for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. That when he died, it was on the third day that God miraculously raised him from the dead. And that is what we call the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know as well that the scripture is clear here that after Christ suffered and died for the sins of the world, and he was raised on the third day, everyone who will believe that and turn from sin, a way of life that is not going in the way of God, and turn from that and turn by faith to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, the Bible says these words, all sins will be forgiven. The good of your life, the bad of your life, all of it is gone, especially your sins. They're forgiven, lock, stock, and barrel, every one of them, because of the powerful gift of Jesus on the cross. And it's such a message that is so transforming personally in a life. Jesus said, you give yourself to this, taking this message to places where this message has never gone before, to people groups where it's never gone before, and you share the gospel, the life-changing message of Jesus with people all over the world, beginning right where you are in Jerusalem. And then John says in his book, chapter 20, verse 21, these words, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. I recall so many times in life where God's done that with me. He has spoken in those words to me out of John 20, 21. Anybody identify with that? That the Lord reminds you that he was sent, and he says, even as I was sent, I'm going to send you. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus said these words, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Very important phrase. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' call in this passage is not simply a personal word about being a witness for Jesus Christ, but it is also a strategic word telling us how he wants us to advance his good news to the world. But I believe even beyond that, it is a progressive word. What Jesus was saying is that as you progress and you share the gospel with people where the gospel has never been before, you've got to continue that process. Once the witness is there, you go to places where the witness may not be as strong or where the witness has never been before. It is a progressive word. Now, because of all of these passages of Scripture, we have as a church a missional vision. And that missional vision is as follows: reaching Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. That missional vision is a powerful missional vision because it's exactly what we are about as a church, and we do not retreat, but we risk it all so that the world, beginning right here, can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This missional vision consumes our church, and it leads our church in our strategies. Everything we do should flow from the heart of this missional vision. We take seriously the assignment of Jesus for us to reach Northwest Arkansas, to reach America, and to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Our message is one message: the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your sins can be forgiven. Our mission field is the world, beginning right here in Northwest Arkansas. While in future months, I will unveil a fresh vision for our church to reach America and the world, today I want to concentrate on something God has put in our hearts for over a 2-year period of time. Before I share it with you, I want to take an opportunity today to tell you a story. On February the 11th, 2001, I stood before our Springdale congregation with an innovative, unproven vision and strategy to help us reach our region with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was on that day that I shared the vision for the creation of the Pinnacle Hills congregation. In 2001, very few churches in America had ever tried becoming a church with more than one location. Today, hundreds and hundreds of churches around America are now using this strategy to help them more effectively reach their region for Jesus Christ. It was on this very frigid, overcast February 11th, 2001 Sunday that I cast the vision for the work here at Pinnacle Hills. We ask our congregation to embrace the vision and to commission 350 of our people to begin this Pinnacle Hills congregation. Now in 2001, if you were to dial back in the historical archives of our membership, you would learn that we had only 200 households at that time that lived in Benton County that attended our Springdale congregation. But God began to call out these 350 people to begin this congregation. Many lived in Benton County, but they were also parts of our entire region. It was on the third Sunday of August in 2001 when we launched the Pinnacle Hills congregation. We began meeting in a small building that is on our property over here that seated about 600 people comfortably in one worship setting. God began to bless, and today this congregation is a vibrant part of what our church is all about. Because of our congregation and because our congregation embraced this vision by faith, today we have a Pinnacle Hills congregation that has grown from 350 people in 2001 to a congregation that last week had over 2,800 people here on this campus last Sunday morning. Since last August, our Pinnacle Hills congregation is average reaching 2,501 people weekly. Additionally, in these 8 years, 1,534 people have been saved by the grace of God and have been baptized through the life of this fellowship, as well as 3,436 people have joined our fellowship here at Pinnacle Hills. I'm really glad y'all responded, because I wondered if I was speaking to dead people today. Located now on a 38.5-acre campus, this vibrant congregation all began because of a vision to reach our region more effectively. Due to the incredible heart, the incredible sacrifice, and the incredible vision of our Springdale congregation, Pinnacle Hills exist today. Can I get a witness for the vision and the sacrifice and the heart of that congregation? Thousands of people have been changed miraculously by the grace and the power of God through this ministry. And to God be the glory, great things He has done. In January of 2008, our ministry staff began to go through something, a process called Invent the Future. Through this multiple month process and never-ending challenge, we have been and are now charting a future vision for our church as the Lord moves among us by the power of His Holy Spirit. Over these past 2 years, we have become convicted by the Lord that we must advance more into Northwest Arkansas through using a multi-site strategy. While we have multiple sites right now that weekly proclaim the gospel throughout the ministries of our church, we still have only 2 campuses. We have learned so much over these past 8 years of what it means to be a multi-site church with 2 campuses. I will never forget when we began this, someone said, "How are you going to do it?" I said, "I have no idea." "What are we going to do?" "I don't know. We're just going to go, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to learn, and we're going to grow." But we've also learned from churches much greater than our church, much larger than our church in many ways, and sometimes more strategic than our church has been. We've also learned from others in our culture who have changed and who have developed various models that might even be more effective than the model that we presently have operated with for these last 8 years. We have also learned that people will go to a church closer to their home, but on the other hand, let me make it real clear, they will go where they want to go, regardless of where it is. We have people from Benton County every week that pass by this wonderful campus, and they drive to our Springdale campus, and they attend our Springdale congregation. At the same time, we have many people who from Washington County drive close to our Springdale campus or right by it, and they come right here to the church at Pinnacle Hills. What I want to share with you today is not, and I want to say it again, is not to be confused with a Pinnacle Hills model. What I want to share today is a new model for our future that still uses a multi-site strategy. Today, I want to announce to you the creation of a 3rd congregation in our region. This campus will be a smaller building on a piece of property that will not be owned by our church, but will be leased by our church. Through multiple services, we believe this type of campus can service this congregation for many years to come. Besides, only God alone knows His plan for the future for our congregation and for our church. After 2 years, and I underline 2 years, of diligent study, diligent prayer, and diligent hard work of our staff team, and after working with our pastor's council and board of directors for the past several months, we are presenting this morning a compelling vision that will advance the gospel of Jesus Christ into Fayetteville, Arkansas, the largest city in our Northwest Arkansas region. In 2009, the city of Fayetteville had a population of 74,552 people. By 2014, the population will rise to an estimated 82,671 people. With the 2010 census now taking place, you need to complete your census. Within the next few months, these numbers will not just be estimates, but should give us exactness for the near future. Researchers and missiologists at the North American Mission Board have informed us that the estimated lost index of Washington County is 66.1%. With the dominant cities of Fayetteville and Springdale in Washington County, what they are saying about Washington County is as follows. Through research and findings, 66.1% of the people in Washington County have never been born again and do not profess having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That's what they're saying. We know from our own research that we have conducted over the last 5 years that the most unchurched city in all of Northwest Arkansas is Fayetteville, Arkansas. By the way, We also have learned through research given to us that in the greater Northwest Arkansas region, which includes McDonald County, Missouri, and Madison County, Arkansas, as well as Benton and Washington counties, the average lost index for this entire region is 65.7%. Now, what does this mean again? This means that 65.7% of all residents of Northwest Arkansas have never been born again and do not profess having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I say that to you today because, friends, listen to me, we have much work to do for the gospel. And every campus needs to take seriously and never forget the words of Jesus we read a moment ago. People need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in this region, and we must be passionate about penetrating the lostness of this region. Now, while we appreciate the present work of churches in Fayetteville, it is obvious that there is much to be done. Within our own Southern Baptist work in Fayetteville, we have 19 churches in that city and outlying areas. And while those 19 churches touch on a given Sunday, I don't know what Sunday, but a given Sunday, those 19 churches together touched 2,108 people in Fayetteville. At that time as well, these same 19 churches, listen to this very carefully, reached and baptized only 107 people in 2009. Dear church, we must go to Fayetteville more strategically and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you may be surprised by the following information, but our church has 1,130 households that live in Fayetteville already. Now, what does that mean? What I'm telling you that means is that you take all of the households that are a part of both campuses, 1,130 households live right now in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You multiply those 2.7 by 2.7, that might be the average family unit. Perhaps some of you that have a little happier life, it could be 5 or 6, you know, who knows? But here's what happens when you break it down. The Springdale campus has 669 Fayetteville households. And the Pinnacle Hills campus, this will surprise you, has 461 Fayetteville households. That means that 461 households in Fayetteville, Arkansas, drive to this campus every week to go to church. We know these people live. We know where they live. If you were to walk in our offices, you would also know exactly where they live because we have it all mapped out exactly where those 1,030 households live in Fayetteville, Arkansas. This means that 20.7% of our Springdale membership is from Fayetteville, and 16.7% of our Pinnacle Hills membership is from Fayetteville. While we know that these 1,130 households are willing to come to our Springdale and Pinnacle Hills campuses, obviously, the vast majority of true lost people, people who have never given their lives to Christ, will never attend either one of our campuses. We must go to them. In a few moments, I will speak of the very limited number of people we will ask to pray about going with us to begin this Fayetteville congregation. Many of you may be asking, where will this Fayetteville campus be? That's a good question. While some of you may be aware, most of you are not aware of the tremendous population explosion that is taking place in and around the Weddington Drive area of West Fayetteville. While there is a new Harps grocery store on Weddington Drive, as well as several other businesses and hotels that are emerging, there is also a new neighborhood market that Walmart will open this fall. Now, if you're going to drive on Interstate 540, you will come to the Weddington Drive exit. And trust me, that's me driving, baby. And at that exit, Can I get a witness? At that exit, you'll take a right on Weddington Drive, and you will see several new hotels on the right, plus the new harp stores along with other shops. And here we come. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Just past that on the right, you will see a very small piece of land where a building will be built that we will lease. And directly across the road will be that new Walmart neighborhood market. And the address of this property is 3484 Weddington Drive, West Weddington Drive. We have been working with the owners of the land and how and the builders of the project. And what was intended to be several shops in this building will now become our Fayetteville location. We will lease the entire building that will have 15,750 square feet. The entire building will be constructed inside as we desire. And the project has already been approved by the Fayetteville Planning Commission. While parking will exist on our campus, we also have a parking agreement with three different banks that are adjacent to this location, giving us ample parking, and we are in deep, deep, deep gratitude to those three banks and their willingness to let us do that on Sundays. The worship center will hold 344 people. There will also be children's and preschool space in the building, which will enable us to have about 500 people per worship venue on the campus. Additionally, the building will have four equipping rooms for on-campus Bible study classes. Plus, we will have few offices for our staff team who will work on that campus. The building will be completed late fall of this year, and the date for the launch has not yet been determined. It is our goal to begin this campus with two morning worship services. We will be able to have some Bible study classes on campus for many of our people each Sunday. Plus, we will also do home fellowship groups during the week. Even with the economic downturn over the last 3 years, this area continues to grow. Houses have maintained their value. And it is amazing to see the numbers of people in this specific region of Fayetteville. While our reach will be not only to Fayetteville, but to all of Northwest Arkansas, here's what we know about the following demographic information within a 3-mile radius of that site. And I want you to hear me, a 3-mile radius. In 2009, 41,768 people lived there. Median age was 24.9 years of age. 23.2% of the area was 20 to 24 years old. 18.4% of the area was 25 to 34 years old. And within a 3-mile radius, 17,328 households exist within that 3-mile radius. We also know that 20,000 cars a day drive by that site. We also know that 74,900 people lived within a 5-mile radius in 2009, and the median age of that group altogether was 28.4 years of age. Now, from this location, due to stoplights more than the actual distance, here's what we know about where this location is in relationship to other matters. Now, I want to make it real clear. This was discovered on Google Maps. We did not drive each one of these. I can assure you I could beat the driving time of most of these. All right? Now, that won't surprise some of you, but trust me, man. I mean, a good golfer could hit some of these with a great driver. We will be 8 minutes from the University of Arkansas. I believe it's more like five if you catch the lights. If you catch one of them, it might be 5.5. 9 minutes from the Northwest Arkansas Mall, 9 minutes from Fayetteville High School, 9 minutes from Farmington High School, 4 minutes from Hope Middle School, 8 minutes from Woodland Junior High School, 7 minutes from Ramey Junior High School, 3 minutes from the Owl Creek Elementary School, and 3 minutes from Fayetteville Boys and Girls Club. Hopefully this information will help you see the significance of this location, not only for today, but for years to come in the city of Fayetteville. Listen carefully. While Dr. Nick Floyd will continue to preach at times on all of our campuses, we are announcing today that Dr. Nick Floyd will become the campus pastor and the preacher for our Fayetteville location. I asked Nick and Meredith to come today because many of you do not know them. Nick and Meredith, why don't y'all stand? Meredith, you're looking good today, sweetie. Turn around and say hello. All right, that's good. We will be trying a new model that includes him speaking weekly at that location. I may be there occasionally in person, but only consistently to inconsistently via simulcast. I cannot keep adding matters to my plate. So Nick will do the majority of preaching on that site in Fayetteville. And for clarity, he will continue to preach globally on all three campuses at certain times. And when Nick ends up moving towards the Fayetteville location solely, for those of you that are attending our 10:55 service today at Springdale, we will have someone take over that weekly preaching in that second service at our Springdale location. We will launch as we did at Pinnacle Hills with other staff members concentrating solely on our Fayetteville location. They will come alongside of Nick and I, and we will work launching and growing that campus. We will have ministries for preschoolers, children, students, and adults. Now, here's what I need, and I need you to listen very carefully. I need no more than 200 adults and students to help us launch this site. This will result in no more than 250 people, including children. Now, why? Well, folks, listen. We're there to reach people. We can't fill our building up the first week two times because everybody in Fayetteville goes there. We don't want to launch with any more than 250 people, so we will have plenty of room to teach and reach people who need Christ and need a church home. So what kind of people do I need? Here's what I need. The same kind of 350 people that built Pinnacle Hills along with our staff. I need pioneers. People willing to sacrifice to make this location successful. I do not need sitters who do nothing, but everyone will have to own and work in a ministry. Obviously, some of these will have to lead a few of those ministries. I need people who want to see the city of Fayetteville come to faith in Jesus Christ. I need people who are willing to commit to attendance, will invite and bring others to serve in the ministry, and will also help people who have never really gotten out there on the edge to help us on the edge. And then, of course, we need people to come alongside of us financially who will support the ministry. If you have an interest after this and you have prayed about it, we're going to begin to take names. But listen carefully. We don't want to rush this. You need to pray about this. Everyone who gives his or her name to us will not be chosen to go help us. We have to be strategic, and we must limit the number to no more than 250 total. If God wants you there, listen carefully. He will call you there, and he will notify us that you need to be there with us. Again, we must be strategic. Now, we want people from both campuses to help us, but let me speak today to those of you at our Pinnacle Hills campus specifically. Listen carefully. Those of you who live in the city of Fayetteville, your distance from Pinnacle Hills can at times limit you in service and ministry to this church. At times it might limit you getting people to attend with you there or here. This is an opportunity for some of you to get closer to home and really be involved in your church more than you're able to today. And this will give all of you in Fayetteville, whatever campus you choose to attend, an opportunity to really encourage your neighbors and your friends to Christ right there in a campus that will be located in their own city. We will talk much more about this at a later date, but all I want you to do today is just begin to pray. We will involve people from both campuses who would not only go with us as the original 250, but leading up, we will involve as many people as possible to help us get ready to reach Fayetteville, Arkansas. We will mobilize hundreds and hundreds of you to prayer walk every street several times, to do various ministry projects to get us really involved in the city in a new and a fresh way. Plus, put all of our forces from both campuses to get people to be a part of that work in the city of Fayetteville. Just as we did with the Pinnacle Hills launch, we involved our Springdale campus on many occasions and in many ways. And now that we have two large campuses, we will turn our hearts in a major way in weeks to come that will help us launch later this fall or whenever that is determined about how we're going to do that. This campus has so much potential when you think about the lost and the unchurched that already exist in that region. We must begin to pray now for this upcoming vision that God has given us. Tell your friends we're coming to Fayetteville and we need them to help us reach people for Jesus Christ. I will be asked, what will we call this church? That's a good question. I mean, we are not sure because we are in a dilemma about this. We just cannot keep adding names to our present two names. Having two names is a constant challenge in communicating to our region and across the world. Obviously, you cannot go into another city with a First Baptist name due to other churches existing in that city already by that name. As a note of interest, and some of you will be surprised by this, since the Springdale location began in 1870, it has not only officially changed its name at least three times, but has also operated under various names in its history. After many transitions in name occurred in our first approximately 30 years of existence, the church was named the First Baptist Church of Springdale. Please know that ever since the beginning, in 1870, it was in our DNA as a church to do whatever it would take to change, to make a difference for Christ, and to reach into a region. I wonder what they would say, that 13 people that began in 1870. They were in the part of Springdale at that time in 1870s. None of you will remember this, by the way. Called the Liberty area, just around AQ Chicken House and where it's located today. The church was initially called the Landmark Liberty Baptist Church, indicating a theological commitment, but also indicating a name of liberty, which was in a specific area. I wonder what this group of 13 would say today if they were here. Looking at what's happened, 7 men, 6 women, 13 fine people who tried to get together to make a difference in a city known as Springdale. You say, oh, they'd be shocked. Would they really? Perhaps. Obviously, things have changed, and obviously, things look differently than they did in 1870. Perhaps some of them would have cardiac arrest over it. I don't know. I don't think they would. Because when you plant your heart in a church, you've got to be able to see things that you cannot see so that one day you get to see them. I want you to know today that's exactly what happened here at Pinnacle Hills in 2001. We saw it before we saw it so that all of you could see it. You know what you call it? Faith. Faith. Faith is seeing it before you see it so that everybody else can end up seeing it. So what are we going to do about our name? Perhaps nothing. I really don't know at this point, but for 4 years, we've been studying this challenge. 4 years this week, I might add, knowing this day would come that might lead us to at least considering the possibility of a name change. Just pray about it. Don't become stressed by it. Don't lose the vision for that simple adjustment, if there even is an adjustment. There are ways to deal with this and even preserve our great legacy and name as the First Baptist Church of Springdale and the church at Pinnacle Hills. Over this past year, God has changed my life and changed my ministry perspective. I'll never be the same for where I've walked over the last year. I've never been more passionate about reaching this region, but also very passionate about reaching America and reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll have a whole lot more to say about this later this year, but we are strategizing like never before about how to do this, not only personally, but globally as a church. If you were to say what's in your mind, I'll tell you what's on my mind and what's in my heart. God has placed the world on my heart. As we move forward in this favorable vision, we at least have a proven history that comes with us. When we began Pinnacle Hills, think about it. We had no history in launching another campus. And now that we've learned and we continue to learn new ways to use a multi-site strategy to reach our region more effectively. And when I think about the potential of Fayetteville with our two dynamic campuses and their forces behind it, along with the dire lostness and spiritual needs in that city, we must do all we can to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into Fayetteville, Arkansas. For almost 24 years, my heart has been broken about our inconsistency in even being able to gently touch and penetrate the campus known as the University of Arkansas. This Fayetteville campus will be just 2.7 miles from the University of Arkansas and will not only serve mainly to extend to all of that city, which is our goal, but it also gives us a close enough proximity to the campus that maybe perhaps for the first time we can really begin to penetrate a very lost, pagan, deep spiritual needs that exist on that campus. Great people, but most do not know Christ in a personal way. On that February 11th, Sunday morning in 2001, when I challenged our Springdale campus to begin another location known as the Church at Pinnacle Hills, I closed my message that morning in a unique way. And today I close this message and challenge you in the same way that I challenged us back in 2001, praying the response will be as positive today about reaching Fayetteville as it was in 2001 about reaching Bentonville and Rogers from the Pinnacle Hills region. You see, when I think about what I'm about to do, it drives me back and takes me back to my days in a little church where I grew up in Texas. Hearing my dad and my small congregation of 30 to 40 people would sing this song. In fact, I'm not going to say the number of the song in the old Baptist hymnal, but I think I know it. But I don't want to be proven wrong. If I am, then I would be accused that I'm losing it. But I can tell you, 93 was the old rugged cross. 94 was, alas, and did my Savior bleed and did my sovereign die. And I can tell you that 95 was down at the cross. And I can tell you that 482 is when the roll was called up yonder. I'll be there. And I believe that page 479 is the one that I want to talk about today. Back in that small church, I'll never forget my dad. He was not the greatest singer in the world, but he was extremely loud. And he didn't care, because he took literally, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you peoples. And I remember Joshua, my daddy, would lead the music. This is the way they did it back then. They didn't wave their hands in those small little churches. But every time you changed a verse or you wanted to know what verse you got to, he just held this up. Or this. Anybody remember that? Some of you back in the old days. And not that I am old. I'm not even close. But you know, that song was appropriate then. That song was appropriate in 2001, and that song is appropriate today. And I want to let you know today, I need you to go on this vision with me. Everybody can go on this vision at different levels and in different ways, but I need you to go on this vision with me. Aren't you glad that in 2001, a congregation of several thousand in Springdale, Arkansas, decided to go with us and talk about something that we didn't even know what we were talking about. But we did it because of God's convicting power of His Spirit that revealed we needed to come north to make a difference for Jesus. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and I cast a wishful eye. You know what that wishful eye is? Reaching Fayetteville, Arkansas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To Canaan's fair and happy land, where my possessions lie. Not only was Canaan land representing heaven, but remember they were on the brink of the Jordan and they had to cross over, and God gave them dry land to cross over. 40 years they walked and would not do anything because 10 of them said, you can't do it. 2 of them said, we got to go with God. It took them 40 years and for a generation to die off before God let them go forward. And they crossed the Jordan into the will of God. And I'm telling you today that I believe with all my heart us going to Fayetteville, Arkansas is the will of God. And that's why I am bound for the promised land. Yes, I am. I am bound for the promised land. That's the will of God. So here it is. So who will come and go with me? Ah, did you hear the question? Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the will of God in reaching Fayetteville, Arkansas, with the transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. And I claim it reached in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. May God be praised.